Can you figure out what's wrong with this story? Yesterday, 8 of us played hide and seek. I was found in only 3 minutes. 3 minutes after that, another 3 were found. And then the last 4 were found 5 minutes after that. Usually it takes about an hour to find everyone. How amazingly fast. I want to play again tomorrow, too. So, did you figure out what was wrong? In the first 3 minutes, I was found. 3 minutes later, 3 people were found. 5 minutes later, 4 people were found. Although only 8 people were playing, 8 people were found. That's one person too many. Hey guys, this is your host Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Koobana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. Volume 2 of the book came out last week. Have you read it yet? It's been getting some great reviews, which makes me really happy as a lot of work went into it. If you haven't checked it out, head over to koobana.net for more information. On this week's episode, we're going to be looking at school hauntings. Perhaps more so than Western schools, Japanese schools are a very popular setting for ghost stories. Until the age of 18, Japanese kids spend pretty much their entire lives at school. Their life and everything in their life revolves around it. The buildings themselves are also the perfect setting for supernatural appearances, with their long concrete corridors and dark nooks and crannies. Our first story this week features a young girl who went to a boarding school in the countryside. The school was full of ghost stories, but one in particular of another young girl stood out during her years there. Find out what happened in The Famous White Girl at School. The combined elementary, junior, and high school I went to was a boarding school way out in the countryside. It was rather old, and literally in the middle of the mountains. Cleaning the toilets was awful, and as summer got closer, the drains always stank. These long, hairy, really creepy grubs were always lurking around as well, and getting rid of them was important. We also saw tanukis, and even green pheasants. Several students had permission to work on their own field in the back garden as well. It was that kind of place. Of course, being such a place, it was full of ghost stories as well. I mean, even the teachers often warned us about things. Anyhow, it was quite a while ago, but someone had apparently died at the school. It wasn't an accident or anything. Apparently, it was a seizure. I've experienced a lot of things myself, but this particular story is about the famous white girl at our school. Because we lived in dormitories, us students were all rather close to each other. So, in the middle of the night, we'd often gather to tell ghost stories. I was admitted during elementary school, and 2 of the third grade high school students who were there at the time, I'll call them A-senpai and B-senpai, were really good at telling stories. Our dorm was a 5-floor building, and I was on the 4th. They didn't even clean the 5th floor, and apparently the building sat there empty until we started using it. The place was creepy. There was graffiti everywhere, and even though there were those of us who went to the stairs landing to peek in, no one was actually brave enough to enter. So, there are things from school festivals and such that you'll never use again, but you can't bear to throw out, right? We had no more space for those, so we had to take it up to the 5th floor. The people who had to do that were A and B senpai. The two of them were close friends and very diligent, so they carried out their request promptly. They had to take the stuff to the first room on the fifth floor. But, they said, the dust was so bad that they had to stop for a while and clean up first. Not just that room, but the entire fifth floor. This was after school, so it was probably around 7 at night. Then something strange happened. Or, rather, they met with something strange in the room farthest from the stairs. All the rooms in the dorms were built the same way, like they were rectangular with space for beds at both ends, and then study desks in the middle. There was a window opposite the door, so when you open the door, you can immediately see the window. Of course, the fifth floor wasn't being used, so the curtain was closed. First, A-senpai went inside to clean with a broom and dustpan. It was night, so it was dark. The room directly below on the fourth floor was hers, so light filtered in from outside. With just that to light the room, it was vaguely dim. She said she realized something was up as soon as she entered. There was a gap between the floor and the bottom of the curtain, and in that gap, she could see a white girl's feet. She was wearing something that looked like a white one-piece dress that ended just above the knee. She couldn't see the top half of her body because it was hidden behind the curtain. But, having seen her legs, it was also possible that she was an intruder hiding in the room. But that wasn't it. The proof that she wasn't human was right before her eyes. Light filtered in through the curtain, dimly lighting the room. But the light was coming from behind the curtain, and the girl cast no shadow. As soon as she realized the girl wasn't human, she quickly closed the door. B-senpai, noticing that her friend was acting strange, asked her what was wrong. A-senpai explained what she'd seen, and after the two of them discussed it a little more, they decided that no one should enter at night. Just like that, their plans to clean the fifth floor ended, half finished. As they told us their story, the rest of us exchanged glances. Supposedly, all that had taken place 2 years earlier, and since then, several students had seen the girl wearing the white dress with increasing frequency. I also saw her. I mean, about 20 people or so witnessed her. The common features of each sighting was her white skin and white dress. There were apparently cases where people couldn't see the top half of her body, however. She was a girl and had long, straight black hair. She was like the standard template of a Japanese ghost. But in most cases, nobody felt any danger. Everyone agreed that it was just like she was wandering around. But then the incident happened. On the opposite side of the road, leading out of the back gate of the school, there was a small shrine buried in the mountains. It had fallen into decline and no longer had any visitors. But perhaps rather than calling it a shrine, it would be better to say it was like a small depository for sacred objects. A really small shrine. It was past a plain old shrine gate at the top of a long, thin set of stairs. It had become a sort of rendezvous spot for the students while they were at the dorms. One day, another of my seniors, I'll call her C, went towards the small shrine. She just intended to pass some time there. The girl in the white dress was standing before the stairs. She soon realized who she was and looked down so as not to meet her gaze. Of course, with her head down, she could only see her feet. Even so, somehow she could sense that the girl was looking at her. C hurried back to the school gate and didn't look back. She said that the entire way back to the school entrance, she felt the girl's gaze upon her back. Hearing her story, we tried to comfort C. "If it was just that girl, you'll be all right." Thinking back on it now, we said something irresponsible. C had definitely felt something dangerous about her. The next day, C jumped from the fourth floor. But she didn't die. By coincidence, she landed on the roof of the hallway below, which the teachers explained acted like a cushion. But C's right arm was torn off at the shoulder. A few days later, C explained that while she was looking out the window, she suddenly felt that girl's gaze well up on her back. She didn't know what that meant exactly, but it was the best way to describe what she felt. She wanted to run away right then and there, but she couldn't turn around. And then, as a result, she felt the gaze throw her out the window. That girl is still in the dorms, especially on the fifth floor of my dorm. The biggest problem is that, despite everything, the fifth floor underwent a large renovation and now has students living in bright rooms all lined up, one after the other. Sometimes, when they open their eyes, the students say they can see something by the window. That girl's feet. Ever since C's accident, it's become a kind of tradition to inform the new students that if you ever see that girl, even for an instant, make sure not to go near her. Don't look at her. And make sure that she doesn't notice you either. I heard on Facebook from some juniors that nothing has happened since that accident. But even so, the number of students that have seen her is constantly increasing. Pretty much every summer, universities in Japan have various campus festivals where you can go along and eat various foods the students have prepared, watch mini concerts, take part in games, and also walk through the infamous haunted houses they always set up. I've been through a few of these myself, and while they're never really that scary, the students have a lot of fun putting them together. The students in this next story, however, might not agree with that sentiment. This one's called "The Haunted House Took Up an Entire Floor." Every year at our campus festival, we have a haunted house event that takes up an entire floor. It's also famous for the strange events that inevitably occur each year. Before work begins and when we're packing everything up, we get a priest in to bless everything. But regardless, last time a bunch of strange things still happened. One of these things involved my friend while preparations were still underway. On this particular day, numerous people were at work, like always, and they were getting everything ready just before the opening date. At the end of the shift, everyone grabbed their bags and went down to the stairs attached to the side of the building to the first floor. One of the teachers remained behind with a few students to check all the machines, and then they went together to the elevator. Before the door closed, the teacher called out, "Hey, is there anyone still here?" His voice echoed down the empty hall.
"Yes, I'm here."
A voice came back from the end classroom. All the lights were off and the teacher had gone around checking for any people beforehand. But they had most definitely heard a voice. "I'll go check." A-kun left the elevator and ran down the hall. But no matter how long they waited, he didn't return. The teacher left to go check on him, but couldn't see any sign of either A-kun or the voice that called out. Did he go down the stairs before them? Tilting his head, everyone went down to the first floor, and A-kun was there. "Hey, if you're gonna leave before the rest of us, at least let us know first. We were waiting in the elevator." "Huh? But I came down with everyone else earlier." When he asked the other students, they said A-kun had been there with them the whole time. Then, when he asked the students who were waiting in the elevator, they said A-kun had been with them as well. But it got even better. When he asked about the voice he heard down the end of the floor, apparently half the students didn't hear anything. It was after work hours, so he couldn't continue questioning people. So in the end, he never found out which was the real A-kun, or who was the owner of the voice. A few weeks back, we did a children's games special where we spoke a little about Kokuri-san, the Japanese version of the Ouija board. This next story features a class who were really into it, until one day something happened that changed one of them for the worse. Find out what happened in Kokuri-san. This story took place when I was a first grade junior high student. Kokuri-san was really popular in our class at the time. In our class, there was a group of kids who were a little odd. They said they could see ghosts, that started playing Kokuri-san. Then, like an explosion, it spread to the rest of the class, and everyone started playing it. I, too, started playing Kokuri-san with a group of my close friends. It was so much fun. We asked silly questions, questions about the opposite sex, and other pointless things. We had a great time. But the longer you play something, the more boring it becomes. So we decided to play a game within Kokuri-san. We started a type of role-playing game within it. We formed parties called Genbu, the Black Tortoise, Suzaku, the Vermilion Bird, Seiryu, the Azure Dragon, and Byakko, the White Tiger. It was so much fun. To formidable enemies, we'd send our thoughts telepathically through the 10 yen coin. And when you leveled up, it felt like you really did level up in real life too. Kokuri-san started to take over everything. When the teacher was away, and we had a self-study period, of course, we played Kokuri-san. Thinking about it now, our class probably looked a little strange with people playing Kokuri-san all over the place. Before long, the group that had first started playing Kokuri-san came out and said, "There's someone in here that's cursed." And they started talking about finding that cursed person. Of course, that cursed person was me. "You might as well give up. You can't do anything against us," several of my classmates said as they chased me out. Hey, quit playing around." The moment I said it, it happened. Suddenly lightning hit one of the trees outside and it fell. After a few moments of silence, it started pouring down rain. A few girls screamed. The class fell into a strange silence. Only a few small voices could be heard whispering about how dangerous it was. All at once, everyone stopped playing Kokuri-san. After that, no one wanted to play it again. The turmoil over Kokuri-san ended there, but of course for me it continued. From that day forth, it felt like my body was so heavy, like I was constantly underwater. Riding my bike felt like I was being pulled by someone from behind me. I managed to get home and open the door, but the moment I did, the clock facing the entrance and some animal horns decoration fell to the floor, in perfect sync, like it had been arranged beforehand. I didn't want to acknowledge it might be the work of a ghost, so I just went to my room, like, these things happen. The moment I opened the sliding doors to my room, the chest of drawers fell over. By now, I was really scared. I didn't know if I should talk to someone about it or not, and didn't know who to talk to even if I did want to. With nothing else to do, I started watching TV. It also started going up and down in volume of its own free will, but I just decided that it was broken. A week passed without going to get myself purified, but in that time, these poltergeist-type happenings continued. The biggest thing was things falling over. The TV and stereo were also constantly turning themselves on and off. My body also felt strangely heavy, and it was mentally wearing me down. It was no better at school either. The place where I loved to go and hang out with my friends became difficult to go to, and I spent all my time with my face down on my desk. A few days later, it was really starting to get to me, both physically and mentally. Just when I started to think that I'd have to go and tell my parents about everything, it was like I was suddenly freed of my demons. My body felt lighter. The sensation that until now I'd been floating in the middle of mud was gone. After that, I felt great. And everything went back to normal. But I really wanted to know why I'd suddenly gotten better. At some point, I went to talk to my closest friend. We had often played Kokuri-san together, and until then had an unspoken understanding not to talk about it. On our way home from school one day, I mentioned how I suddenly felt the heaviness in my body disappear. He said right about that time I felt freed, he had gone to a shrine to perform some purification rituals, and had also done the same for me. I've never been more thankful to my friend in my entire life. Really. Our last story for this week features a group of kids who try to investigate an urban legend regarding their school, only to find much more than they were bargaining for. This one's called The Awful Thing That Happened at School. When I was an elementary school student, ghost stories were really popular, like Hanako-san from the toilet or Kuchisake Onna. Those types of stories went around our school as well. Compared to other schools, we didn't really have any stories that were changed to be more interesting, but we did have one story that no other schools had. If you open the door leading to the path behind the gym at exactly 3:56 p.m., you would see a set of stairs that shouldn't be there, and those who were able to climb those stairs would find they could now pass their worst subjects. However, if you didn't climb the stairs, or were unable to climb the stairs, it was said that you would die. Myself and my friends A and B decided that we'd try it out, and one Saturday afternoon, we headed towards the door. At the back of the teacher's room, there was a small kitchen, a tool closet, and that door. Generally, there were a lot of people around there, so we decided to do it on a Saturday. On rainy days, we'd use that path to leave the gym, but when it was sunny, it was closed. On this particular day, it was sunny. Using the watch A secretly took from home, we watched the time and then opened the door. The third grade teacher was hanging there, dead. I don't really remember what happened after that. The only thing I clearly remember is the strange smell the instant we opened the door. I don't remember the teacher at all. They sat us down on the couch in the principal's office, and we cried until our parents arrived. For a while after that, I had a lot of dreams I didn't understand very well. After that, people didn't talk about the mysterious stairs at the end of the path, but instead of the ghost of the teacher who died there. After the accident, the path was completely closed off, and several years after I graduated, the entire school was demolished. I returned home recently and heard from one of my old classmates that even now there are rumors of a ghost that appears in the storehouse where that path once stood. For some reason, I still find it terrifying. I don't want to go near that school ever again. So I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. If there are any other themes or stories you'd like to see in future episodes, you can let me know at koabana.net/podcast. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving a review for it on iTunes. It's super easy, and you can find the link for it at koabana.net/podcast. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you again next week for even more Koabana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. Want even more scary stories? Head over to koabana.net for new translations every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koabana.net now.